Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Where are you?
I'm hanging out in my living room in Nederland, Colorado, up here in Deliverance Country, I guess is what you called it.
Yeah, I'm about 20 miles down the valley in Boulder. As the crow flies.
And who are you?
Who am I? I'm Lachlan. I'm Lachlan Morton. I'm a bike rider.
Lachlan Morton, bike rider. He's an Instagram superstar. Featured prominently in Thereabouts 2, Thereabouts 3, and to be continued. I don't know. My name is Alex Howes. I am also a bike rider, bike racer, current U.S. national champion on the road. And yeah, we're buddies.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Guys, it's really good to talk to you both in Colorado, but not both originally from Colorado. So Lachlan, we know that you're an Aussie yourself, but Alex, you are from Colorado originally. Tell me whereabouts.
I'm from Golden, Colorado. It's world famous because it's where Coors beer is brewed. Coors Brewery is there. Yeah, we're the gateway to the West or something like that. No, that's St. Louis. But yeah, we're Colorado native. We tried to build a wall to keep out the Australians, but it didn't work out.
And Lockie, why did you end up in Colorado yourself?
I came over here first time about 10 years ago. Actually, maybe 11 years ago. Anyway, I was riding with the, what was at the time, like the Garmin development team. So we were called Chipotle. I was on that team with Alex. And my parents moved over very shortly after with their business. So they've lived here full time since then. And I've sort of been here on and off that whole time. So yeah, I came here to ride bikes.
It's kind of fortuitous that your folks ended up there, because it is Boulder, especially, is a proper, not just a bike riding town, but it's like loads of triathletes are based there. Loads of just professional sports people are based there. It's a good place to live and to train.
Yeah. Like mum and dad were weighing up whether they moved to Detroit or to Denver. And luckily they chose Denver.
It was somewhere with a D. That was the rule. Somewhere with a D. Why was Detroit on the menu?
It's just the industry they're in.
Okay.
So a lot of manufacturing that goes on in Detroit. But yeah, their dad obviously loves the outdoors, loves to ride his bike, loves to hike. So yeah, they moved across to Boulder pretty shortly after getting here. So yeah, super lucky for me. I love it here.
Ordinarily, as you know, I'd be asking you both to take me out on a ride on your home roads around Boulder or around where you are, Alex. Can't do that while we're on lockdown. And we'll get to talking about the surrounding area in a second, because I was there just last year. So I did some riding around what are your home roads. But before we get onto that, how are you finding the lockdown at the moment? And what are the sort of frustrations at a lack of racing?
Well, I kind of met up with Lachlan the other day and we discussed this. When I say met up, we're a few meters apart the whole time. Sitting in a field, having a picnic, having a coffee. And Lachlan brought up a great point in that, you know, we've always kind of just wanted to like be paid to ride our bikes and not really have to do anything else. And now that's what we're doing. But we're also starting to realize that we really miss the racing. And yeah, it's one of those, you got to be careful what you wish for sort of things. So it's honestly at the moment, it's not the worst thing in the world. But if I start to think too much about it and think like, oh man, maybe we won't race for who knows how long, or, you know, not going to be able to travel and just be staring at the ceiling here in Colorado for another, 5 months or something, that could be kind of bad. So just trying to think ahead, you know, one day at a time, like a goldfish.
Like my situation personally, it's like, it could definitely be a lot worse and is a lot worse for a lot of people. So I'm definitely taking comfort in the fact that I could still be out and ride my bike and be outside by myself for a good chunk of the day. But yeah, as Alex said, it's funny, like the life that we lead generally, it's strange to be in one place for more than 2 weeks. So just this last couple of days, that 2 weeks is starting to tick over, and definitely starting to go a little stir crazy.
And what are your home setups like? I'm assuming you'll be spending a bit more time on the kicker, churning out the numbers. Is that what you're up to at the moment? Or can you still get out and ride outdoors as much as you ordinarily would?
I've been outside as normal. Like, I leave early in the morning, so I don't really see anyone. But yeah, there's no restriction on being outside on the bike. Yeah, I'm lucky in that I haven't had to spend too much time on the trainer. Got on a couple of times for some like virtual rides with the team, which has been cool. But yeah, as I said, like here we're relatively lucky in that regard. And I mean, I think like where we are here, we're pretty blessed that you can be out on some quiet roads and not really see anyone for 4 or 5 hours, and so you can train outside pretty safely, you know.
That said, it's supposed to snow here all next week, so we'll see how that works out.
Is it really? In April? Okay. I guess you're on the edge of the Rockies, or just like it, just into the Rockies.
We're in it, man. I'm in it.
The thing in Colorado is if you don't have to ride the trainer, don't, because like next week you probably will.
Alex, I know exactly where you are, because when I was in Boulder last summer with my family on a bit of a holiday, the only ride I did was out of downtown Boulder up to a town, it wasn't even a town, like a village called Ward, and it was something like 1500 meters straight up. The altitude being what it is there really ruined me. I live at sea level in London pretty much, so it was so hard to get up there. But then once I arrived in Ward, it was a bit like a, how can I put this, it was like something out of Deliverance. People with dogs on strings, you know, missing teeth, guns in their belts, that kind of thing. Is that kind of normal around there?
Ward's a little unique. Yeah, it's a bit amplified, but yeah, I mean, that's not too far of a stretch given about, you know, how things operate up here. We got a fellow down in town that insists on walking around all the time with he calls it a knife, but it's almost a meter long. It's more of a sword. I don't know what he's doing with that, but cutting cheese or something. But
the vibe I got was they didn't really take kindly to men in skin-tight clothing. Is that fair?
Yeah, but they don't take kindly to anybody, so.
Funny enough, talking about clothing, it did occur to me that when I hop on the indoor trainer, usually I'm just dressed like I'm going outside. I might even put on sunglasses, which is ridiculous. So today, in a kind of homage to thereabouts, I'm wearing bib shorts and I'm clipped into the pedals, but I've got a Hawaiian shirt on up top, and I'm wearing like the same cap that Taylor Finney wore in thereabouts too. So it's a bit of an homage, Lachlan, to some of your long distance rides.
The uniform. It's funny, like, the whole idea of like not wearing a jersey was to like break away from the idea that you know, you have to be dressed a certain way to go riding. Now everyone's like, oh, no, they're about to ride. I have to wear a Hawaiian t-shirt. I mean, that's great. I appreciate that.
If it doesn't sound too kinky, can I ask what you guys are wearing right now?
I've got an old Campag Nolo top on.
I'm actually wearing an EF logoed sweatshirt. Just, you know, always on brand.
Always on message. Is it a U.S. Yeah. National Champion special one?
No, I got blue socks, but about as close as it gets to having any kind of stars and stripes. I am wearing shorts, though, just because the sun's out and it's not snowing.
I had the realization yesterday that I was like, oh, I've been wearing the same clothes, like, off my bike for, like, 3 days now. I was like, oh, it's starting. You're like, oh, it doesn't matter.
I think that happens. I'm the same, and I'm confined to my house. I'm in sort of central London. You know, everyone's taking lockdown fairly seriously. Just before we started recording, because it's just gone 8 on a Thursday evening here, everyone was out on the street applauding the health workers, the National Health Service workers who are saving lives. That's become a weekly occurrence here as well. But it does feel like a bit of a sort of twilight existence, this, like not being able to get out as much or go to your workplace or travel the world as you guys do. Does it feel like that to you, Alex?
Yeah, a bit. Like I said, I just try not to think about it. Like if you just don't think about what you're not doing and just think about what you are doing, then, you know, it sort of smooths things out a little bit. It's always the anticipation and the, you know, anxiety around things that get you. So just never think ahead when you're in lockdown.
Just look at the silver lining. Focus on the silver lining. It's like,
I definitely am.
Being at home in the spring, like with your family, like a lot of the time that's what you dream of when you're getting your ass kicked in the gutter in the fucking spring in Europe, you know. Even though it sucks not to be racing, it's like, all right, just enjoy it for what it is. Try not to think about the shit for yeah. most of the time.
You got to remember that right now, this time of year, you usually have a concussion. You have a sinus infection. You've got like a scab that has reopened 6 different times for various reasons. And like, you're like putting on a pair of damp shorts and like getting ready to go ride out in the rain at Pays Basque and just going to get your ass handed to you. So this is certainly better than that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the surrounding area then. I've already mentioned like some of the climbs in and out of Boulder. The other iconic climb out of Boulder is the Flagstaff climb, I think, Flagstaff Road up to the amphitheater, which I've done myself and I was blowing out of my ass. You guys must know that one because it's pretty iconic, but also what are your favorite rides to do around there?
I mean, Flagstaff's a great place to go if you want to catch coronavirus at the moment because there's about 500 people hiking up around there every day and not wearing masks. So I've been steering pretty clear of Flagstaff. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. The nice thing about riding around here is, like, there's a lot of different options. But more often than not, I end up riding up Alex's way, actually, some sort of loop that goes through Nederland. Usually I climb up on the dirt some way, like either up Sunshine all the way or up through Jamestown or like, I don't know, one of the many like sort of dirt climbs you can go up. And then if you're on a mountain bike during the summer, like you can ride some trails up around Nederland for a couple of hours and then it's downhill all the way home. So that's sort of like my go-to loop, I guess, variations of that. That's probably my favorite sort of ride to do here.
It's great, man. You should just move up here. And then you won't even have to ride anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's like, that's my dream.
I've been waiting for the big climbs to open up here. They're, all the big stuff is it's still snowed in pretty hard. But I mean, like, probably one of the coolest ones you can do is just basically ride from here to the top of Mount Evans and back. And that's like,
how far is that?
It's a big day out. It's about a six hour ride.
How much climbing?
How far it is. Plenty. I couldn't tell you really.
Yeah.
It goes up to.
You'd be given though at six.
I mean, it gets up to what, 4,000 meters, Locke?
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, 4,200 maybe?
4,200. You're just up on top of the world up there. So it's pretty cool. And the whole route is pretty good. I mean, you stay super high the whole time.
I was just saying, just get up there before the lightning comes in the afternoon.
Jeez.
Because then you'll really know about the fact you're on top of the world.
Oh, yeah. I rode over this other pass, the other side of the Rockies, basically, a few years back and got caught up there. And I literally was squatting underneath a trash bag for 3.5 hours. Just like,
I think that's lightning terrifies me more than anything in Colorado.
100%. Like, absolutely.
I think I'd rather come face to face with the mountain lion than be stuck like up above the tree line in a lightning storm.
I'd rather walk butt naked, maybe with like a pink like rainbow tutu through downtown Ward than get stuck in a lightning storm, man.
Because you mentioned the wildlife there, Lachlan. I remember last summer a guy was out jogging in Fort Collins in northern Colorado, and he managed to fight off a young mountain lion. Have you sort of encountered any bears or moose or lions when you've been out cycling?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all of the above, and I've seen moose more than once, but I've only seen a bear out riding once. I had two cubs and it was on the other side of the river. So I was grateful for that and that I could actually stop and have a look without fear of it chasing me. I saw a couple of mountain lions in a den towards the end of the Colorado Trail last year, which was one of the most horrifying experiences of my life. And then moose, Alex has got one that lives just over the road there. And that was I saw it across the road from his house about a week ago. And it's funny because, there's a lot of people in America, talk about Australia, that they're like, aren't you afraid of the critters? I'm like, are you kidding? I'd rather, come across a snake in your backyard than a fucking mountain lion up on Sunita's trail at sunset, you know?
There's definitely some animals out here. I don't know. I've seen all of them. I swung a tree at a bear one time, but that wasn't on my bike. Yeah, I got ran up the tree by a moose in my backyard last year, but that was mostly just because I was being stupid taking pictures of it. But I had an escape route planned, and it worked out fine. But yeah, mountain lions, I think for the most part, they just see you. You don't really see them, which is probably the scariest part. But
I'm definitely most scared of mountain lions.
Oh, for sure. For sure. So I was talking to the surfer dude, and he did that stand-up paddleboard down the whole coast of California. And apparently, if you do that, you're just asking to get eaten by a great white shark. But his method was he just meditated on being a predator every day and not being prey. And so I try and bring that to the mountain lion perspective there. You know, it's like, I'm out here. Don't screw with me. I'm a predator too. So.
I just kind of run along with the mantra of make it quick. if you're going to get me, you better finish the job quickly.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
The urban foxes and pigeons around me don't really compare, unfortunately. The other question about where you both live is, do you notice the benefits of living at altitude and being able to ride up to 4,000 meters on a training ride?
Definitely. I mean, I think living up here, I live at 2,500 meters. I think that helps quite a bit. I notice a pretty good bump when I go back down to sea level, but the trade-off there is that every time I come home, it's pretty much hell. There's like between 3 and 5 days where you just can't sleep. So not really the way you want to come home, but it's all right.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, for me, altitude training seems to work well. It's nice because you just kind of, if you're out riding your bike, you could pretty much call it training, you know, because like it's hard. And you don't have to do a lot of like specific stuff to have like a good quality ride. So I always start going well when I spend a lot of time back here.
I mean, just being alive is training, you know, like you get fit just being alive. It's great.
Let's talk about the racing then. And I mean, there's so much to talk about. We've got to talk about the alternative calendar that you both massively embraced at EF. But let's go back to the beginning and where you both met. So you both raced on the same team. I think you said it was Garmin Chipotle a few years back, Lachlan. So what do you remember of that meeting? And were you firm friends from day one?
We actually met in Okinawa, in Japan, I think. If my memory's correct. I was riding there in a junior race. I think I was maybe 16 or 17. And there was a race called the Tour of Okinawa, which is the southernmost island in Japan. I was with a bunch of Aussies. And then there was Alex on La Palme, I think, like a French amateur team. And I think he was craving some English-speaking friends. So I'm pretty sure that's how we first met. Is that right?
Either that, or how old were you during Dead Dog? I remember racing your brother at Dead Dog. The old Dead Dog
class. Yeah, right.
In nowhere Wyoming. Wyoming. Yeah.
yeah, right. It must have been one of those. I remember that as well. You had your sleeves rolled up. It was cold. You're talking about like the radiant heat from the sun.
Soaking it up, man.
Yeah, but I guess, yeah, the first time we really properly got to know each other was on Chipotle, which was, the Garmin development team. And Alex was a couple of years older than me, so he was definitely showing me the ropes.
And I've often wondered, like Lachlan, having come from Port Macquarie on the Australian coast, you had to travel a long way to even just start to race at a higher level. Was that quite a sort of a shock to the system, having to go all over, you know, the US and Japan and other places just to try and crack the sport?
Yes and no. I mean, the thing about Australia is it's big, right? So like if you grow up racing bikes, like, and you're from a country town in Australia, like you're pretty used to driving like 5 or 6 hours to anywhere to race your bike every weekend anyway. So I think like in that regard, I was kind of used to like to traveling. But I think at that time, if you weren't sort of like a track rider or part of the track system in Australia, it was quite hard to get a start over, overseas to race professionally, like in Europe or something. So, yeah, I was lucky in that I'd been able to travel to the US a couple of times when I was younger and get exposure here that way, which, like, led to the opportunity to race it at Chipotle. And that came up, like, right as I finished high school. So it was like a point in your life where you're like, you know what, I'll just go try it for a year and see what happens.
I was going to say, in some ways, did it come a little bit too soon? Because, you know, after a couple of seasons, you kind of, it seemed like you fell out of love with the racing and you were looking at walking away from it. And that's when riding with your brother Gus seemed to sort of reignite the flame.
Yeah, I mean, I was just young. And it's funny because, like, I look back at how young I was. I think I was 19 when I moved over here. And at the time, I thought I was old, but, like, I had no idea what I was doing.
You were still in junior group, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it was more like if you put any 21-year-old, you know, in an apartment by himself in Europe and, you know, tell them the only thing they've got to do is ride their bike, like, it's bound to sort of end out badly. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely made mistakes along the way that I'm glad I had because, like, they serve me well now. Yeah, I mean, I think it was just something I had to go through. And I'm not sure if it was the way I went about it or just my personality in general.
But the upshot of it is doing the thereabouts rides, the first one being from Port Macquarie to Uluru or Ayers Rock in the middle of Australia. And it was like
definitely
you made
Uluru.
A film. Uluru. Some people don't know it as that even now, which is crazy. But yeah. The thing is, you made a film of that, and it was inspiring, and it just reminded people that it's not all about the racing or all about the numbers. It's just getting out there, riding, racing for signs, just having fun, and it seemed to sort of inspire people a bit more. And it seems to have even inspired EF and the alternative calendar as well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was lucky in that I kind of stumbled into that experience just through where I was at in my life, where my brother was at in his life. So it all sort of happened by accident. And then, you know, like we kind of documented it on a whim with no idea sort of what it would do. So I'm grateful to have had that experience because it's definitely shifted my priorities and also it's just shifted like what my relationship is with my bike now, which it's a much better relationship and I have a lot more fun riding bikes now. So yeah, I mean, purely on like I'm glad like if other people get something out of it, but the reality is like I'm just glad to have had the experience for myself more than anything.
And in some ways, Alex, it's also helped shift your, you know, riding experience because, like I say, it seemed to play some part in the alternative calendar, which has been going for a couple of seasons now. For those people who aren't really familiar with it, just describe how it differs from what most other pro cycling teams do.
Yeah, I mean, really, EF's the only, certainly the only professional you know, world tour level team kind of jumping into these races that, I mean, most of them are unsanctioned, and they're mass participation. They basically, I mean, they're open to anybody, assuming you can get in through the lottery and such. But really, I think the reason why we wanted to do it is just to, I mean, one, kind of learn and see what was getting people so excited about it, because they have huge turnouts for them. And then two, try and help people draw that line between these races that they're doing and the races that we have traditionally done, things like Tour de France and such.
Have you enjoyed mixing it up? Because again, you talk to any pro and it's all going to be about the big road races, Tour de France, the Spring Classics, the other Grand Tours, etc. But do you find people are just as interested these days in talking about the gravel races you've done or the Leadville, which is like a mountain bike race in Colorado or Cape Epic in South Africa? Are people really curious about your experiences?
Because they're races that anybody can do, you know, people want to do them, and then they want to get better at doing them. and they you know, they want to improve their experience, improve their time. And in a lot of ways, they look to us to be kind of like, tell them how to get better, which I think is funny a lot of times, because for a lot of these things, we don't know what the heck we're doing. and we're the ones showing up being like, hey, what tire pressure are you running? Like, oh man, your tires look a lot better than mine. Like, maybe I picked the wrong ones today. What's a dropper post? It is an interesting experience all the way around. I mean, really, I think for me, the highlight so far has been, 30 Kanza. That was a ton of fun. Definitely the longest race I've ever done. I think it was like 10 and something hours. Longest race to date, let's put it that way.
What did you enjoy about it? So for those who don't know, Dirty Kanza is a gravel race in Kansas. Was it 200 kilometers, something like that?
200 miles, mate.
200 miles, I beg your pardon, in old money. 200 miles. It's all straight lines, isn't it? It's all just like literally in a straight line for miles and miles and miles.
That's what everyone thinks. It's not at all. it's entirely off road, or except for maybe like 4 or 5 k, and you get a pretty good mix of everything. Like, it's enough to keep you on your toes for sure.
Definitely, and it's hilly. It's hard.
Yeah.
And what would have been coming up this year if things were different?
That was going to be the new highlight, Cape Epic. That was going to be the big dog.
Yeah, we got all the way to South Africa ready to race Cape Epic, and then we were on a plane home 2 days before the start because it was cancelled. So that was the next event on the calendar, and I think it's probably fair to say we were both the most nervous we'd been for any of these events before that. That was going to be a proper challenge. And then I guess Kanza would have been the next one on the calendar coming up. But yeah, it's all on the back burner for now. But they've shifted the date for Kanza, but you can probably still see Kanza from Alex's house now. The sky's so clear, so we won't be forgetting about it.
At least you two can get out and ride your bikes. I mean, for your teammates who maybe live in France or Andorra, I mean, they're on proper lockdown. It's Spain as well. They can't be getting out at all. Are you hearing from any of them, and are you picking up on those their frustrations and the difficulties?
Oh man, some of the people, yeah, a lot of our teammates are still in Girona, in Spain. There, Spain, Catalonia, and yeah, just living on the home trainer, which
yeah,
you know, many of them are rightfully going a bit crazy.
I can't imagine myself being stuck in my apartment there for more than a few days. So I definitely feeling for the guys there. But I think, like, you know, everyone's been really good in, like, the fact that, you know, in the context of what's going on, if you can't get out for a bike ride, that's just something you got to deal with, because the issue's a lot bigger than, you know, you'll want to go out on the bike. And it seems like everyone's kind of on board with that. And the responsibility is no longer like to train, it's to, you know, be smart and stay healthy. So it's an annoying situation. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's actually a desperate situation. So a few hours on the home trainer, you know, it's not so bad.
And I, in the course of our chat now, have racked up a massive 12.9 kilometers of just turning the pedals on the kicker. Not exactly the ultra distance that you're used to, Lachlan, but you're absolutely right. A lot of people are in a much worse situation, and just the idea of being able to get out and ride a decent distance, maybe not GB Juro kind of distance of John O'Groats to, or Land's End to John O'Groats that you did last year, is enough to, I think, keep people going through this.
I heard a guy in Italy ran a marathon on his balcony.
Yeah.
Forget GB Juro, like, go run a marathon on your 7 meter balcony. Come and talk to me about it.
Yeah, I think he wore a hole in it. I just wanted to say, strange circumstances to have a chat like this. Wish I was actually in Colorado with you both and riding some of those amazing climbs. Not that I'd ever be able to keep up, but that's beside the point. But for now, thanks so much for talking to me from your home roads and about your home roads. And next time, maybe we'll do it on your home roads. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, man.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.